Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we don't want to do anything in our lives without your approval, without your anointing, without your grace, without your will. And we know when we gather together to study your word, it is according to your will. For your word says, do not hinder the gathering together of the brethren. I thank you for each and every person who is sitting in this room, Lord. For I know by faith that you've called them each by name to this time, for this purpose, to hear your word. God, I would pray that our ears would be open to this message. I pray that even as I've studied and prepared, Lord, that you would multiply my efforts. In fact, Lord, I would like to get out of the way and allow you to speak through me. And I pray that I would speak powerfully and boldly and confidently the truth of your word. For we live in days where truth is being set aside for our own desires. May it not be so in your church. So I pray for these people. I pray for all of us, Lord God, that you would fill us with your truth and that we would be obedient to your truth, knowing that you are in heaven, on your throne, and in control, even though it seems like things down here are out of control. We know that you see what's going on. So encourage us this morning to be faithful to you again to the very end. We love you, God, and we thank you. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you would do me one more grace this morning, I feel like the Lord wants us to stand as we read his word this morning. If you would just stand. 1 John chapter 2, we pick up in verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as is taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Amen. Let us be seated. You got to love the heart of the Apostle John. His desire and his focus is on the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's word, that which we've heard from the beginning, he says several times, even in this book. See, there's a lot of voices out there, isn't there? There's a lot of voices that are speaking into everyone's lives, but also into the lives of the church. Voices that try to deceive and have different ideas and different thoughts and want you to challenge the things that you're thinking, the things that you do, and the way that you're living your life. And it's these voices that we need to kind of push away to allow that still small voice, right, to penetrate in so that we can hear God and hear the Spirit. I call it noise. There's a lot of noise in the world. There's a lot of things that get in the way and fog our clear understanding, our clear communication from God. I mean, not a lot of the stuff is bad. It can just be a distraction. And as we see John speaking of the Antichrist, we're going to see that Antichrist is just someone that helps us stay away from God, deceive us from the truth of God's word. He is Antichrist. And you know, and I'll say this in my message, but the enemy doesn't have to be evil and wicked and dark. He can be just crafty enough to get our eyes off of God and get us to a place where we distrust the truth or doubt the truth. I don't think anyone in this room has ever not doubted a little bit in some time in their life. Is this real? God, are you real? Am I what I'm reading in your word? Did this really happen? Did the Red Sea really part? Did you really rise from the dead? Sometimes those little doubts come into our hearts going, is it real? It's by faith, isn't it? It's by faith we say, no, it is real. It is by faith that we understand that God has done something in our hearts. God has changed us from the inside. And if you've embraced the truth of Jesus Christ, as John says, you have an anointing. You've been given the Spirit of God, one to help you, the comforter, the helper that is there to guide us in our lives. And I believe it's that comforter, I believe it's that Holy Spirit that helps us push those voices out. You know, those voices can be well-intended people, but those voices can speak lies that we can begin to consider. And so it's John's heart. Hey, church, in the day that he was speaking, there were a lot of false teachers. The Gnostics were there teaching new things. And there was a lot. And John's going, listen, stick to what you know is true. Embrace that truth and hold on to that truth. See, my message, title for my message today is Embracing Truth. Embracing it and keeping it close. Right? Anytime we set something aside, we begin to forget about it. But this truth, the biblical truth, we need to embrace, and that's what John's saying, keep it close. And I'm going to give you three things that are going to help us to embrace that truth, help to keep that truth close, so that we don't ever get to that place during the week and go, I don't know if what he said was true. I don't know if what God was saying there was really true. That doubt that the enemy wants to steal, right? We know the enemy wants to destroy us. We know the enemy hates our guts and wants us to do nothing more than have a fight with our spouse, be at opposition with our kids, be discontent at work, all these things. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to destroy us. So we need to be mindful of these truths today and to know, as John is writing to the church, to say, guys, even though you're hearing all these voices, hold on to what you know and embrace the Holy Spirit that's in you. It does take time to learn to hear the voice of God, doesn't it? To hear the voice of that Spirit. Was it God? Was it the enemy? Was it me? It's always those three, right? Well, when we know the word, we know that we know we hear God's voice when it lines up to his word. So again, three things if you're taking notes. Number one, in this first section, starting in verse 18 through, or two verses, 18 and 19, I see number one, the practice of truth. We need to practice truth. And in some senses, I'm using these first two verses as an illustration of the opposite of what happens if we don't practice truth. Again, read with me, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Look at verse 19. This is kind of one of those who's on first kind of conversations. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. What's he saying? Do you get what he's saying? He's saying that there were people in the body of Christ, in the church, that claimed to be Christians, but then drifted. They maybe professed Christ, but they didn't have Christ in their hearts. They were antichrist. They were those that were against Christ. They didn't receive that truth and embrace that truth and hold on to that truth. They were not practicing truth. No, it was a good idea. Let me go to church to see what I can get from them. And it's those types of people in the body of Christ, or in the church, I should say, that we need to be watchful for. We need to be watchful for. Those that will distract us, those that will discourage us, they're not here to learn truth. They're not here to embrace truth. They're not here to be used by God. They're here to get something out of it for themselves. It's a selfishness. And what John calls them, antichrist. I don't know about you, but if you wrongly say, well, antichrist is the opposite of Christ, that's not a true definition. Antichrist is opposed to everything that Christ is. And he will use deceptive ways to deceive, right? Started in the garden. Did not the serpent use the word of God? Did not God say? So he has a sense of truth involved there, but there's deception there. And that's what the Antichrist do. They just want to deceive. They're opposed to the works of Christ. Do we know people like this? We do. We know people that are against the truth. We live in a country that's little by little undermining the truth, removing the truth. And so in a sense, there's Antichrist among us. And John is saying, you know that there's Antichrist is coming, and I'm telling you, they're here. And the people that John's talking about are those false teachers, those Gnostics, those ones that are saying, hey, Christians, there's more to your truth than you think. And that's where we get in trouble. See, truth must be embraced, and there is a quality to faith that includes performance. And I know that sounds weird at first face value. But James said it himself, faith without what? Works is dead. So there is a sense where you can tell a Christian based on their performance, based on their faithfulness, based on the things that they stay consistent in. I say this all the time. Give lie some time and it will expose itself. Just allow some time to pass and truth will come forth. We live in such a day where everything needs to be quick, fast, right? And it's like, just allow some time to pass before you think that that's what God is telling you. I cannot tell you the number of couples that have sat in front of me and said, oh yes, God wants us to get married. Only for them to get married and then later find out this was not God's plan for our life. No, Micah, I'm not talking about you. I know she's thinking it. I know she would be thinking it. It's in my notes. Micah, I'm not talking about you and Jordan. Yeah. It's the wedding of the century. You ever heard about it? Just kidding. But it's true. We need to be careful as Christians as to make sure that our wants and our desires line up to God's wants and God's desires. Wouldn't you agree? That what we want is what God wants. Lord, what do you want for my life? I want your will to be done, God, not my will. I've said it many, many times. If I'm getting my will done, guess what? There's no power behind it. Very rarely does our will line up with God's will. Wouldn't you agree with that? But more importantly, God's will should align up with our will. We should get under the will of God. And that's really what our focus is. And that's what John is saying. Listen, guys, you've heard that Antichrist is coming. I'm telling you, he's here. And you need to embrace this truth. And you need to practice truth. The more we practice, the more we understand, the more we embrace truth, the more we live truth, right? Amen? And John says, it's the last hour. Did you catch that? It's the last hour. He's not even saying we're in the last days. How many of us believe we're in the last days? Okay. John, how many years ago, thousands of years, John's going, it's the last hour. It's the last hour. Nowhere else in the Bible does anyone. John was living with such an immediate expectancy of Christ's return. He's going, he's going to be here before 11 o'clock. That's the expectancy. And if John lived with that expectancy, how much more should we? I wonder if we shouldn't say, we're in the last seconds. The clock is just ticking before Christ will return. Do you understand when you have that mentality, if you have in the last hour, in the last minute, in the last seconds, do you know how well you'll live your life? There shouldn't be a spirit-filled Christian in here that doesn't say, Lord, please come back while I'm praying. Please come back while I'm reading your word. Please don't come back while I'm in traffic. Please don't. Now, here's the thing I want to share this. I'm not that angry of a driver as I portray. A little bit, but not. I don't want you to think that that's all I do. But don't we want to, God, come back now, this second? The Bible tells us that we should be praying fervently for the return of Christ. And if we believe that he is coming back, our life is going to be different. We will live differently. We will do things differently. When sin knocks on our door, we'll go, if I do that and the Lord comes back, oh, that's going to be awful. And to be thinking like, so believing practicing truth because he could come back today. In some senses, when I first got saved, I got saved in South Florida. And in South Florida, you were either really saved or you were really lost. Here in Middle Tennessee, there's a lot of gray areas. There's a lot, and it was in my prayer, one of my prayers this morning. There's just a lot of compromise when it comes to the body of Christ. It breaks my heart. Compromising says, well, the Bible says this, but. Well, the Bible says I should do this, but. It's like, no. If it says it, are we going to do it? When we compromise, hey, we know there's forgiveness always there. I love the forgiveness of God. I love the grace of God. Thank you, God, that you're there when I do mess up. But if we purposely mess up, we're dishonoring the Lord. We're dishonoring his heart for us. I died on a cross so you can have a life of substance, and you're going to do that? And you're going to live with that kind of... And again, this is not just a one-time deal. This is a kind of a lifestyle. I forget where it is. Somebody will tell me where it is in a minute. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where's your heart this morning? What's your desire? If there's areas, listen, we all compromise in some areas, but if there's areas in your life where you're finding compromise, can I honestly say, you need to get on your knees before the Lord. Just get on. Like I said this morning in my morning's prayer, riding in this morning, that song by Mercy Me, I need a miracle. I need a miracle in my life. And it's a miracle that we don't destroy ourselves. It's a miracle that we even are still alive. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for allowing us to be born in the years of grace for your church. You know, in Old Testament times, if you were caught in sin, if you were a man, they pulled the hair out of your beard. Does that sound painful, men? If I was someone who's going to pull the hair out of my beard when I sinned, I wouldn't sin. That would hurt. We live in the days of grace where God says, "I just want you to willingly obey me. My forgiveness is there. My grace is there for you when you mess up. But I just want you to purposely, in your heart, do what's right. Practice truth. The more we practice it, the better we get at it. Isn't that true? The more we practice it, the better we get at it. If we truly believe we are living in the last days, then our lives should change. God forbid that we have that attitude, well, it's been 2,000 years since he's come back. It might be another 2,000 years. No. Any moment. We're living in, again, these days of compromise. I don't know if you saw this news article. I was reading it last night. A city in Houston has issued subpoenas demanding a group of pastors turn over any sermons that deal with homosexuality, gender identity, or any message that has anything to do with Mayor Anise Parker, who is the first openly lesbian mayor for the city. If these pastors do not comply, they may be held in contempt of court. Now, let me just say this. We've expected this to come. We've been expecting this to come for many years in the church. But it's just another illustration of how truth offends sin. Okay? You pastors are teaching against those things? Well, we're gonna hold you in contempt unless you give us a... Why do they want the copies of the sermon? Why? So they can plaster it all over the news and say, these pastors are teaching this. And what I love about one of the pastors I saw on the news thing, it says, if I'm going to be held in contempt, then I'm going to be held in contempt. God will take care of me. That's the confidence that they have. Not to say, I'm going to compromise truth so that I don't get in trouble. God forbid that this pulpit is ever used for something that compromises the truth of God. What good is it? What good is it if I tell you your sin is okay, don't worry about it, just continue in it? That's wrong. My prayer is that I convict, through the power of the Holy Spirit, convict you of your sin so you stop sinning. That's what God's heart is for you. So don't feel like, oh, I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time. He's talking about me compromising, I've compromised a little bit. Don't feel bad about that other than make that feeling perpetuate you to do what's right from this day forward. You can't change the past. God can. You can only help the future or help your now. The more we practice truth, the less we live in compromise. And that's where the body of Christ is so exciting. That's where the body of Christ comes together and encourages one another. We don't beat each other up, do we? Oh, you sinned last week. What the heck? I mean, I wouldn't come up here with all the prayer requests. Okay, so-and-so's wanting to get a divorce. Such-and-such is what. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you. We're going to come and comfort you in your season of need and help. And encourage you to get through that season. That's our heart. Antichrist is one who opposes Christ. And Jesus said this in Matthew 24:5, should be overhead. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And look what it says, and will deceive many. Deceiving. Antichrist is there to bring deception. Again, he says in that same chapter, I'll just read it to you. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In the last days, in the last hour, in the last seconds, we're going to see powers rise that are going to look like it could be Christ. But you know the thing is? Nobody has to tell us that Christ has returned. When he returns, you're going to know. If you belong to him, you're going to know. I don't know, light bulb going to go up on the top of your head? Something's going to let us know that's not Jesus. That is. Right? Nobody has to tell us. Jesus told us, though, listen, they're going to come. There's going to be a day. And we're living in that day, my friends. We are living in that day. Not only do we need to practice it, not only is it the practice of faith, number two, the profession of true faith. The profession or proclaiming. Look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I love this verse. Verse 19, or verse 20 again. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Who is John writing to? The church. He's not writing to pastors. He's not writing to evangelists. He's writing to the church of Jesus Christ. So if I were you, I would underline, you have an anointing in your Bible, or highlight it, or do whatever you have to do in your iPads or iPhones. You have an anointing. Can you say that? I have an anointing. I have an anointing. Because I think sometimes in the body of Christ we think, well, certain people have an anointing. Well, you have an anointing. I can tell you have an anointing. You smile all the time. Or you have an anointing. Boy, you serve with the right heart. There's an anointing on your life. What do you think this anointing is that John's talking about? Holy Spirit. Good. She gets a gold. You get a gold star. You get a gold. I love it. I love it. Don't start preaching my sermons, okay? You have an anointing. John is reminding the church you're living in the days of false teachers, of Gnostics that are trying to deceive you. And these are antichrists that want nothing to do but to destroy you. But John says, don't be fearful. You have an anointing. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe he died on a cross? Do you believe he took your sins? Do you believe he rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God? You are saved. You have an anointing. He promised to give us the Holy Spirit. And what's so cool about this is John is actually alluding to Old Testament times, Old Testament days, because this word anointing in the Greek, look at me, chrisma, like charisma, charismatic, chrisma. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that sometimes people can take the power of the Holy Spirit and make it weird, right? But let's not err on the other side and say, well, then we're not going to do anything. See, I'm passionate about this, right? This part that John is teaching here, because we have the Holy Spirit. God has given us the helper, the comforter, the empower, the convictor, the encourager. The Holy Spirit's in us. My question is, what are we doing with him? What are we doing with that anointing? I bet there's a lot of good reasons in here. Well, I really can't do any of these. There's good reasons we can give. But that doesn't change the fact that you have an anointing, that you have the Holy Spirit. When someone tells me, I can't stop sinning, I don't have the power, yes, you do. You have the Holy Spirit in you. So John's alluding to Old Testament, and you write these down if you want to read them for later. Exodus 28, verses 40 and 41 says this, and this is God speaking to Moses. It says, for Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty, so that you shall put them on Aaron and your brothers and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may be ministers, listen, to me as priests. In the Old Testament, there was a specific set of people that had this anointing, that had this consecration, that were set apart to minister to God as priests. Guess what? We're all priests in here. A holy priesthood, an anointed people, an empowered people. My friends, when you find yourself in a lonely place, when you find yourself in a broken place, when you find yourself in a difficult place, when you find yourself in a place in your life where you're overwhelmed and don't think you can do it anymore, that's when you gotta go, I have an anointing of the Holy Spirit who will enable me to get through this. Might have to endure it, yes, but you have the Holy Spirit to get you through. Do you believe you have an anointing on your life? I believe every single person in this room has a unique task inside the body of Christ, whether in the church or out of the church. I say it all the time. If you're being used in the church, that's wonderful. But if you're being used in the world, that's even better. To help win people that are lost for the Lord, to have that heart and anointing, not to be fearful and go, I don't know what to say to them. Tell them God loves them. Ask them prayer requests. I'm trying to do that more and more in my life when I'm sitting with someone or even someone at a coffee shop or someone I don't. Is there anything I can be praying for you for? I'm amazed at how many people want to be prayed for. It's amazing. And it helps me to just stay focused. Deuteronomy 34:9. Write this one down. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit and wisdom. Listen to this. For Moses had laid hands on him. In Exodus, the anointing came upon Aaron and his sons, that tribe to be set apart for the works of God. Here in the days of Moses, when for Joshua, it was Moses that laid hands on Joshua and prayed a prayer of anointing upon him. And that's what the early apostles did, right? They laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them out and sent out disciples. They were laying hands upon him. What does the laying of hands mean? It's an agreement that God is going to use this person. And if you would allow me this morning, I want to do something a little different. Everybody seems to be near somebody. Put your hand on somebody. I want to ask God to use us to anoint one another. We have the Holy Spirit. That's not the issue. I'm not saying we're going to, but when I read this, Joshua was full of the Spirit and wisdom. Does anybody in here want more of the Spirit and more wisdom? Yes. Let's pray for that. Let's ask God to do that. And let's believe by faith that God will use us. Father in heaven, we worship you this morning. God, I thank you for the word of God that so clearly teaches us that all believers in Jesus Christ have a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in the hearts of many in this room, if not all. And we pray, God, that that Spirit would come alive in each of us, that it would bring upon us a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of power, a spirit of revelation in the truth of Jesus Christ. God, that we would be used by you in this world, not to be a church of compromise, but be a church of truth. God, I pray for those in this room who've been feeling discouraged and down. I pray that this morning's message is encouraging them to be faithful to you, to walk with you, to endure with you, that you have great plans for them. Lord, that you want to do a miracle in our lives. And the miracle has been done because you've given us a part of you. The Holy Spirit, the one that we can have a relationship with, the person of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And though we may not in our limited minds be able to understand and comprehend what that means, we know that it's available to us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, activate your church. Activate your people. Lord, there's people in each of these lives who are lost and you want to reach. And I pray an anointing upon them, a special anointing to be able to speak truth to win the lost into the body of Christ. We pray, God, that we would be faithful with the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. They'll be good stewards of those things. I pray, God, when we try to put our hands or when our hands go to a place where we may be tempted to sin, that the Holy Spirit would convict us of that and then empower us to say no. Pray victory over these people's lives. I thank you that you've given us all the ability to lay hands on people and to pray for them and ask for blessings upon their lives. We pray, God, today that this would be the beginning of a great move of your Spirit. We've seen it in history where you've poured out your Spirit and you've brought revival. I pray that you would revive each and every heart, that we would just stand back and be in awe of the things God is going to do in and through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If I could sing, I would sing a song right now. Greater is he that is in you than he is in this world. We don't have to fear, guys. We have nothing to fear. If we could see into the spiritual realm, when we step up to do something for God, I just see an absolute huge angel standing behind us. That the enemy just cowers at, fearful of. That's the amazing thing that we have in the body of Christ. God wants to use you, and I pray that he does use you, and I pray that you would tell someone when he uses you, because that's encouraging to us. Put up John 16, verse 13. Jesus puts it this way. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You ever wonder what's going to happen tomorrow? Ever wonder what's going to go on in the future? The Holy Spirit can bring us that confidence. And again, not foretelling the future, it's not that. It's just, Lord, what's going on in our world? Why are these things happening? And the Holy Spirit can say, this is all part of my plan. I'm putting things into place. I'm setting up my return. And we can have that confidence that he's coming back. Notice what he says here. And this is where we're going to close. Verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Acknowledging Jesus Christ. I find that I do that more in my prayers as of late. Acknowledging that he's God. Acknowledging that he's my Savior. It's a confession that we give before God. Right? I mean, the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name, Lord. And to just say, I acknowledge you as my Savior. I acknowledge you as my Lord. I acknowledge you as my Master. What does that do? I'm putting myself under the authority of Christ. And so when I do that, I'm saying, God, you're the Master. You're the one that's calling the shots. I'm not coming to you in prayer to tell you what to do. I'm coming in prayer to say, I need your help. Tell me what to do. We need to know what God wants us to do, don't we? We need to hear that voice. We need to know what it is he wants us to do. Acknowledge him. Let me live so that others would see you in me. Is that your heart this morning? I believe with the power, with the help of the Holy Spirit, when people see us, they'll see Christ. When they look in your eyes, they'll see life. They'll see something different. And that doesn't matter what's going on in your life, does it? When we know that the authority of Christ is in our life, when we know we have that confidence, we have nothing to fear. I'm excited for the Lord to come back. I want to see him do miracles in my life. I want to see him do miracles in our church. I want to see him take our doubts and turn them into faith. And if you would, this week, be praying. We finally got a contract on our church property. We do. It's in the negotiation processes with the attorneys. I mean, all the details have been ironed out. We're just trying to... So hopefully, Lord willing, that process will start. That's a miracle. It really is. It's a miracle that God is doing this. The miracle is going to be letting us sustain until we get this thing closed. And that's where the body of Christ comes together. We've got to be in this together, guys. All right? We're a family of God, and we're to serve the Lord faithfully. And something that God's been telling me here as of late is just teach the truth. Teach the truth. Teach it simply. Help people to understand it. Help people to embrace it. God takes care of all the details. He'll do that in this church. He'll do that in your life. Embrace truth. Practice truth. Profess truth. Let others know about the truth that you have in your heart with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we are so excited that the Holy Spirit's going to use us. Each and every one, Lord. There's not one that's disqualified. If we have the Holy Spirit, you want to use us. And so I pray against doubt. I pray against fear. I'm reminded of that verse that perfect love casts out all fear. What do we have to be fearful of, God? You are on our side, and we are on your side, and we confess that this morning. Father, I pray, as you have these many years, that you would sustain this ministry, that you would sustain your people. God, if there's anyone in here who needs a miracle in their lives, God, I pray that those windows of heaven would open and a blessing would pour out in such a way that we would without a doubt know it was a miracle from heaven. But let us also be thankful for what you've done. Be thankful for what you're going to do. We never want to take you for granted, though we always know you're there. Let us be faithful to you, Lord. Again, we're living in the last seconds before your return. May your church be found faithful. We love you with all of our hearts. Bless our day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.